This is Consent You, the podcast, episode 512 for the week of September 8th, 2024. Well, hello there. Welcome back to Konzenshu, the podcast, an extension of the all-encompassing Dragon Ball fan site, Konzenshu. We cover anything and everything Dragon Ball in hopes of enlightening a little bit of entertaining. Hey, great to be back with you. It's Mike. You may see me around Vegito EX. Great to be back in the semi-swing of podcasting things here. This time around on the show, got a little bit of a split episode for you. Got a main topic that's already been recorded, edited, in the bag, ready to go. Love that. All topics are ready to go. You'll understand that reference in a little bit. And what is that exactly? It is a chat with AJ. You know him, you love him. Back to chat about animation, sure, but beyond for Dragon Ball Daima, which is about a month off from the time that this podcast is coming out. We have the main trailer for Dragon Ball Daima that just recently released. So I grilled AJ on some of the animation that we see in that trailer. Yes, but we got characters, we got voices, we got a whole slew of things. Very interesting to learn what he's got to say about that, what he sees in the trailer, and maybe a little bit beyond that. It was a really great conversation, and I just kind of want to get to it as soon as possible here. Otherwise, on the flip, I'm going to chat a little bit here by myself about it felt like a giant project. It may not look like it looking at the webpage for it, but there's a manga guide page for the Dragon Ball GT anime comic that is done on the website. I've been working at this, poking at this for a very long period of time. I just want to share a couple of behind the scenes things about it and what I noticed going through it, and maybe a community call to action. Here's the main meat and potatoes for this here episode. Myself and AJ chatting about Dragon Ball Daima. I will see you on the flip side to talk that GT stuff. I feel like every time I see a cool piece of animation, what do? Call AJ.
You call me. And I ramble. It's the perfect deal we have.
Were you expecting a new trailer?
No, I don't understand the marketing for this show at all. Things just happen.
That's another question. Yeah.
It's like, okay, trailer time, I guess. Fine.
So we're here to chat about the latest trailer. What was the name of it on YouTube? It was like the capital main lowercase trailer or something.
Yeah.
Like
that. I saw the main trailer and I was like, this is the trailer I thought you were going to lead with a year ago. But okay, I guess this is the main trailer. Fine.
It's funny. So yeah, we are at a point now where we seem like we're getting what Daima actually is and will be compared to what have effectively been teasers before.
Yeah.
We've seen glimpses before, but now we have like the characters and they're named.
Yeah, it's bizarre that it's taken this long to see, you know, actual main characters.
So I want to do a brief little recap with you. You've chatted about Daima before with me, but especially with this new trailer here, and we're a little over a month out as we're recording from when the series is apparently going to debut. I don't know if it's a hype check, it's an educational piece, it's kind of all that, the standard fare for Konzenshu here. But AJ, like the long and short of it is, as you've kind of described and teased for a long time, this is something that was originally codenamed Dragon Ball Magic. It was perhaps originally envisioned as a net series, a web series. At some point along the way, we get a formal name, as Toriyama typically does. He comes in and he tells people what to do. He changed the name to Dragon Ball Daima. It's very difficult for me to not put the O at the end of that, but Daima is a new word that he's created here. At some point along the way, they decided we're going to put this on Fuji TV in Japan. We got word on the time slot. Don't let me forget that. I want to chat about that a little bit here as well. Yeah. Something we kind of only recently learned was this, even after Toriyama passed, that this is something that a la Battle of Gods was actually in the works without asterisk Toriyama to some degree, and it seems like he came in and cleaned house a little bit and maybe took direction of it, but we at least have him on the record saying he came into an in-progress product. But here we are a month away from the debut of Dragon Ball Daima. Is that all accurate? still was at the time, remains. What else can you say about that kind of like overall the product slash project that is Daima here?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't aware prior to that public statement about it originally being this like spin-off thing they were doing, and then Toriyama came in. Yeah, as far as I knew, they had made a pilot to like show off the sort of animation style that they wanted to go with, which was, you know, the modern Toriyama stuff that we've just seen in this trailer and some of the previous teasers back in, oh, that would have been, what was it, 2022? Yeah, I think that sounds right. And yeah, off the back of that, they'd then, you know, gone off, got the approval and turned it into this whole series, staff assembled, and yeah, animation work then began about a couple months after that. And yeah, it just seems to have ballooned, I guess, into this major thing. Like prior to that Fuji TV announcement, I had been told time and time again, it will be a web series. And then it went from this will be a web series to, oh, actually, we're not really sure what's going on with this now. And then out of nowhere, it was like, oh, it's on Fuji TV now. Like, okay, right. I guess that changed at some point. Don't know why, but fine. And yeah, now it's this big upcoming thing, whole new time slot. Yeah, really exciting.
Yeah. Two things. I do want to get to the time slot, but before that, I want to back up a little bit. Because you mentioned the year 2022. We're in 2024 here. Again, we've talked about this plenty of times in the past. We all saw Super Melt on screen. It really seemed like, hey, if we're going to do something with Dragon Ball again, whether that's the theatrical films, giving them enough time to cook in the oven, especially if we're coming back to a series, it needs an extensive pre-production timeline. That seems to have been the case here for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been ridiculous. Not as crazy as what the Fuji TV guy said the other day, that everything is complete, but...
yeah, I want to come back to that, too.
Right. certainly has been insane. I said a couple times in the past before that, like, you know, we often look at stuff like Mob Psycho 100 as this, like, gold standard of, you know, TV anime scheduling, where, like, everything, or at least almost everything, is done before it even hits the air. And as a result, you just get one of the most polished looking things ever. And yeah, that's Daima.
Okay, so let's start addressing some of those things we said we'd come back around to.
Sure.
The time slot thing is interesting. We're going at like, was it 11:30-ish p.m. on Fuji TV?
Yeah.
This is not where Dragon Ball aired.
No, we're in full late night anime now. This is essentially the Demon Slayer time slot, just on a different day. I think Demon Slayer was 11:30 on, what is it, Saturdays off the top of my head. And yeah, now we are, what was it, 11:40 Fridays. We are big boy late night anime. Very strange for Dragon Ball.
Yeah, that I can't reconcile this in my head, because by all accounts approaches, this seems like a celebration slash new chance to indoctrinate audiences.
Yeah,
we've talked about this for literal decades on this show, really starting with Kai and even going further back, as we've learned with the PS2 video games. All of these have been chances to, yes, go after the nostalgia audience, but in almost their exact own words, indoctrinate new audiences into this franchise. You need the fresh blood to keep things living and going forever and ever and ever. I don't know how you get the children audience at 11:30 at night, but at the same time, something you'll hear me say and see me say, kids don't watch TV. They're going to watch it on streaming or YouTube clips or something.
Yeah.
So does it even matter when it airs? It's just the fact that it does air.
Yeah, I think for younger audiences, they're banking on like the midday reruns and the streaming and whatnot. But I think more than anything, the fact that it's at the time slot it has, I think, is partially born from necessity and also because of the new format of the show. You know, traditionally that Sunday morning time slot that I believe what previously with Dragon Ball was what, Wednesday afternoons? I want to say.
It was when Dragon Ball debuted, yeah. So I talked about this in the news post. Like, it started with Dr. Slump, where it was Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Dragon Ball inherited that time slot to Dragon Ball Z, to Dragon Ball GT, to the Dr. Slump reboot in 97, to then One Piece. And then it was One Piece that got moved, I think it was 2006, to the Sunday morning time slot. I'd have to go back in the notes on all that. I've had this all explained to me, but it was like a Toei executive change where they wanted to focus on variety programs. programming, that kind of stuff. So they like move their anime block over to the Sunday morning, which we kind of think is like, from an American viewpoint anyway, Saturday morning cartoons is like the institution of the 70s, 80s, 90s here. So it kind of makes sense to us, Sunday morning for cartoons. So that's where One Piece moved. And then we had things like Kitaro and Toriko that would air alongside it. And then Dragon Ball came back alongside One Piece too for the Kai era. They called it the Dream 9 block because it was on it. 9 a.m. So we always have been thinking, well, that's where Kai went. That's where Super aired as well. When we went from Kai to Toriko to Kai to Super, will Dragon Ball come back alongside One Piece and reclaim kind of like this slot? Seems no.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, so at the moment, there's no place for it in that time. So I believe it's, is it Tosochu? The weird running anime.
What's even airing now?
It's some hideous running anime that I know a couple of people are obsessed with, and it just looks terrible to me. But anyway, that is occupying it for the future. There's no space for it. But I think the format is probably the biggest thing here. Like that slot, those slots have always been for big long runners. And Daima doesn't appear to be that. Yeah, I think it's a pretty traditional two-core anime.
So talk to me about that, but then in light of, so I wanted to pull it up here. This was bonkers because this wasn't actually a Shueisha or Toei press release. This was like an actual media report on a story of something that was announced. And like we got it on a news site as opposed to from the Dragon Ball rights holders themselves. But we got this from programming director Yuichi Nakajima, where the quote was, and this is Julian's translation here, "All the episodes are ready."
Yeah, I've seen a lot of different translations of like, all the episodes are complete, it's all done. And yeah, that's not the case.
Okay, so how would you qualify ready here from, again, from what you know from your own contacts and what you've seen and heard?
Yeah, I would presume ready means in the sense of like every episode is in a state where it will be ready. Like
it's accounted for.
Yeah. Like to the best of my knowledge, like the first 12 episodes are complete. Like that's done, dusted, in the bag, ready to be aired. Yeah. As far as like my own stuff that I've been able to find out, I know that back in July, there was still finishing animation being done for episode 13. And then, as of just a couple of weeks ago, early August, a lot of the final fight stuff was still being animated. It wasn't even like close to the finishing stage yet. It was still the actual layout being done. So, yeah, I think in terms of ready, it's like, yeah, like we're all ready to air it and everything will be fine. There's no delays. Everything's in a state where it will be, you know, all good. I think it's partially my own fault a little bit with some of the hearsay that's gone around. I remember saying back towards the earlier, towards the start of the year, I think it was, I'd said that there were, I think, 15 or 16 episodes, I think, in the bag, I'd said, which I guess is very easy to take that in the same way that people take all the episodes are ready, all the episodes are complete, as everything's finished.
Like fully recorded, fully animated, scored.
Yeah, I guess what I probably should have said is that like 16 episodes are like in the midst of production right now, you know, back at the start of the year, you know, storyboards were complete and stuff. So yeah, it's like, it's, you know, it's been a continuous production over all of that time and continues to be a continuous production. And I get the sense that, you know, based on where things are now, it will probably finish production before it even gets close to its final episode. But yeah, it's not, everything is not done. is the bottom line.
So let's talk about what we can see. And that's in this new trailer where there's some beautiful animation going on here. Seeing this here, especially compared to some of the stuff we saw before, which seemed early, if I were to guess. We keep seeing clips of all the characters getting turned into kids, but we've got additional characters here. We've got Pansy, we've got Goma, we've got Glorio all being shown off. We have new mysterious characters as well. AJ, gun to your head, do we have the Makaioshin?
Do we have the Makaioshin? Like, is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Certainly looks that way.
Okay. tell me what else you see, I was going to say on the page, but on the screen here. we already know that we have Katsuyoshi Nakatsuru as the character designer for the show. What else are you seeing represented here? I mean, it's clearly his designs, his interpretations of Toriyama. I certainly feel that back of the brain twinge of nostalgia looking at it there. But what other flares are you seeing?
Yeah, it's nice to actually see it in motion like this, to see like a sort of a decent slice of what the series will be like. I think bringing back Nakatsuru definitely invokes like that nice nostalgic feeling of like, oh wow, this is a character designer who understands not just Dragon Ball, but Toriyama's style through and through. I mean, famously, we obviously know to the point that Toriyama would often look at work and be like, is that me or is that Nakatsuru?
Yeah, right.
And yeah, that really shines through here. And it's really cool to see his work. Well, I mean, it's his work with modern Toriyama flair to it, which we have never seen before. I think what really stands out to me in the trailer is the consistency of it. I think one thing I was afraid of, because something I'd heard early days, was that one thing that they were really, really keen to avoid was Dragon Ball Super 2.0, where, yeah, you know, the animation quality was all over the place. There was no consistency from episode to episode, let alone scene to scene. Like, it was, yeah, it was rough. And they wanted to avoid that. And so there's a very stringent sort of animation supervision focus with this show. Everything will be corrected. It will be a model. And I think my fear with that was, okay, does that mean that we're going to delete lots of animators' flair and we won't be able to tell what's what? But I think this trailer really calmed my nerves on that. It's a very consistent looking show. It's stunning. You know, I can certainly see the little differences in art styles here and there, but for the most part, everything looks like it belongs to the same show. But what really makes me excited is that it's clear that animators' idiosyncrasies, what makes them so unique, is still there. You know, to point out a couple scenes, there's that shot of laughing Goku, which I thought was so cute, where he sort of has his like chubby arms and legs again. That looks like Shintani's work. You know, you've got that Kamehameha scene that's, you know, Shida through and through. I mean, there's even that shot of like Piccolo punching the screen that I'm like 99.9% sure is Yamamura. Like, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he's here. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, there's one bit Takumi Yamamoto for the, you know, the bit where like Goku is like nullifying that blast that's coming towards him, and Yamamoto is someone from Dragon Quest Die, and I think for anyone who followed that show and knows any of its staff, you're going to see so many names from that show popping up here. It was kind of like transplanting that production onto Daima. So yeah, it looks great. I'm really happy with it. Yeah, any sort of fears that I had about that, you know, model first approach just being so draconian. I mean, I, you know, preached for years that, you know, looking at a lot of, you know, those Yamamura led things, it's like, man, everything kind of looks the same here. I'm not really seeing any sort of interesting flair. It sort of feels like there's a really nice balance here of, you know, it looks like the show, it fits the character sheets, but also animators are getting to have fun. And yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, that was definitely my takeaway from watching it, is from seeing the scene. Like, yeah, this feels like a cohesive product already. I mean, it's also a vertical slice isn't perhaps the best word to describe it. Like, they're very self-selecting what scenes they're showing us here to make it look that way.
Yeah.
But that was definitely my my takeaway from it. Something we learned is that we're going to get some recap content perhaps here at the beginning of the show. Is that what the 10 extra minutes is going to be? Are we going to get like we got in, what, Superhero and some of the other things we've seen?
Yeah, that's my guess. I remember one of the very, very first things I was ever told about Daima was that Kubota was on episode one and would be animating a good chunk of it in that classic Z style that we've seen in those teasers, and that it would then swap to the modern stuff once, you know, we got into things. I didn't really know what that meant. My initial presumption was that like, oh, it's going to be like a Z style and then they get turned into kids and then it changes or something. But yeah, now seeing these trailers and seeing that, you know, bonus 10 minutes, I'm thinking yeah, I think we're probably getting like a, you know, an amazing Kubota recap in that style. Like you said, like we saw in Superhero and whatnot. So yeah, that seems like it's going to be really, really cool.
The other notable thing about this trailer is we have voices for the first time.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting how they confirmed Nozawa, but didn't really confirm Nozawa at the same time. Like she's been there along the way. Like I'm even thinking back to when they said she's here, they didn't really say she's here, but she is. She's voicing Goku in this show. But notably, we do have a new voice for Kaioshin.
Yeah.
And this is our third voice for Kaioshin. We had Mitsuya, who was the original voice. And of course, we're having issues today. I can't load my own site to see who the second Kaioshin was. But no, he was there. So this is a third Kaioshin voice. Of course, they attribute it only to the mini version. But then we have new characters entirely. I'm a little wondering slash worried, because we do see normal versions of characters before they get shrunken down. Is this a chance for a soft voice cast reboot? Like, are we going to get Nozawa as Goku the whole way through in like a Sailor Moon Crystal kind of way, in that Mitsuishi was the only Usagi, but everyone else was recast? Do you have any thoughts or insight into that here?
I had no idea. I've had so many questions like, oh, do you know if they're going to change the voice cast up? Do you know who the composer is? I'm afraid I don't know anything.
No.
Yeah. I was really surprised to see that Kaioshin was recast. And yeah, I'm also really curious to see what they do with some of the other voices. It would be so weird to have Nozawa and then everyone else not the voices that we know and love. So I guess I hope that's not the case. I think I've always been of the opinion that, like, you know, if they're ever gonna, you know, redo the cast, it needs to be at a period of time, you know, long after, you know, the inevitable has happened with many of these voices we love, and maybe they're doing a reboot or something like that.
Yeah, it would have to be like the right moment. Separate. Yeah. Because this is clearly tied to the lineage of the existing story. We're still waiting for maybe some of that information about the placement. I mean, everyone's going around with the narrative that it's post-Boo, pre-Battle of Gods, but yeah, they certainly haven't said anything about that. AJ, something that I thought was very interesting about this trailer is that we saw Super Saiyan in this. I think there were some thoughts of, are we not going to get any transformations whatsoever?
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, you know, there was always going to be Super Saiyan and, you know, all the stuff that we know and love from the original series, but any of that, like, super stuff, Blue, God, whatever, Instinct, was not to be present. That's still the last thing I've heard. I don't know what the case is, but yeah. I actually didn't see Super Saiyan's design work until maybe like 2 months ago. It was like great to see it finally. Like, I'd only ever heard about it, you know, through the grapevine that, yeah, it's the mini Super Saiyan. Yeah, you can definitely expect that from Goku. You'll see it on Vegeta. I don't think that's a huge surprise. So yeah, it's cool to see, and I'm curious to see what else the show brings on that front.
Something else I wanted to ask / opinion on was, you retweeted yourself recently where it was something about, and I don't unfortunately have the wording in front of me, I'm going to look for it as you talk here, but you were like, something about GT and Toriyama's take on GT, and you're like, no, actually it is Toriyama's take on GT. What's the deal? What's your explanation here?
Yeah, so I guess the best way to put it is that, well, how do I put this? I guess the closest thing I could think of was how Toriyama sort of looked at the original Broly story and then kind of like conjured up this whole new thing where it's like, oh, I'm now going to include Minus elements, and oh, we're back on Earth now, and there's these characters of Chi-Lai and Lemo, and like there's a loose concept to it. Like, we still have like green Broly hair and that kind of thing, and Paragus, you know, being killed and stuff. Like, there are some common elements there, but it's still very much a new story. I guess from what I understand of Daima's plot so far, it's that there are some elements, some ideas. It's almost that meme that people always say about GT. It's like, oh, great ideas, bad execution.
Yeah.
It sort of feels like, you know, they've gone, okay, adventure vibes, cool. Here's this thing, cool, let's take that and like change it a little bit, they tie it into this new story. Like, it's not gonna be like, you're not gonna get like a new version of Baby or a new version of Super 17, but it's like, it's some of those small concepts and ideas that have been taken and extrapolated and turned into a new story that, yeah, I think fans of GT will look at it and go, oh, that's that thing, fine, cool. And yeah, you sort of go from there. I'm hesitant to say too much. I sort of made it a point not to talk about story stuff and only production stuff, but yeah.
That's right. You know, I'm going to push you as far as I can on these kinds of things. So I pulled it up just to put in context what you were talking about there. Your tweet was, having gained a better understanding of Daima's full story over the past year, I'd like to retract the it's not GT at all statement here and instead reframe it as loosely Toriyama's GT, somewhat akin to how the Broly movie was Toriyama's take on the old Broly movie, which is basically what you just said here, is taking the individual elements here and there and kind of picking and choosing and crafting something new out of that. That really reminds me of something we see time and time again, which is almost a Nintendo way of game development. I promise this will wrap back around to something that makes sense. But we see, especially from things like the Giga Leak with Nintendo, they'll have ideas on something and say, you know, we were working on this back in the Famicom, but we couldn't make it work. And we don't see it resurface until the Wii U, the Switch, ideas they have for things like Mario games or abilities that they want to do. And they hold on to them for decades at a time. Toriyama does the same thing. We've seen this time and time again where he'll mention something in an interview that just sounds like, oh, there's crazy Uncle Toriyama saying something in an interview again, making up new lore. One of the examples was like a double eye visor scouter, which we ended up seeing in Resurrection F a few years later. There are just things here and there, and I'm just waiting for some of those to come to fruition. Who knows when they will these days, unfortunately, now that he's passed and how much influence he'll take from those. But I think back to, we have this translated on the site, it was one of the single page comics Toriyama did for Weekly Shonen Jump before GT was premiering, or as it was just starting to air, where he says like, oh, if I could have thought of turning Goku into a kid again, you know, I could have maybe thought about continuing the series that way. I feel like that's always been in the back of his head here. Like, ah, damn it, that was a good idea. What if I did that?
Yeah, I definitely think so too. Yeah, I mean, like, it's funny, the thing that initially made me say, like, it's not really GT, was that everything that I'd seen and had been described, I mean, this was early in the production, so it's like early days story stuff, was this like big adventurous Dragon Questy kind of JRPG vibe that I think this trailer also kind of shows too, where you've got, you know, these NPC looking characters who are very Dragon Questy designs.
Yeah,
the environments are, you know, basically straight from those kind of games. But yeah, just as time went on, I'd sort of seen some other story elements and was like, oh, okay, I recognize what that's been taken from. And okay, I see how they're weaving that in. And that's a little GT thing, like, you know, just little things like that. And so got to the point where I was like, I feel like me saying it's not GT is now misleading. And I think I'm understanding, you know, it's a little bit more like what we saw with Broly. And yeah, you're right. Like, it's Toriyama hanging on to some of those old ideas and going, okay, sure, let's try that again and in a different way.
So here we are. This is everything we've seen and heard about a month out from the debut of this series. All we know right now is the Fuji TV airing. Something we saw with Super was they weren't going to do a simulcast until it appeared they could land a TV deal for it. I'm very curious, in the years since then, it's been almost 10 years since Dragon Ball Super started, which I'm not really comfortable saying aloud.
No, but please don't.
With the changing landscape of television cable broadcast, are they going to care about that? I mean, everyone's asking, where's this going to be? Where am I going to be able to watch this subtitled? Where am I going to be able to watch dubbed? I mean, who knows on that? We don't know anything about a Crunchyroll broadcast of this show yet.
It's really telling as well, because, you know, the Japanese version of the trailer is like October 11th, you know, coming soon. You watch the English version, that's all being removed. There's no date on that at all. And it's like, okay, wow, right. What are we doing here? Like, yeah, I will be shocked if there's not a simulcast. That would be insane in this day and age.
Especially if it's going to be a shorter show, at least with Super, with its manga simulpub and the TV simulpub. It was like, 60 episodes into whenever Fujito showed up in the Goku Black arc. Like, it was half the show, but at least there was like more of the show from then on to do. Yeah. If this is only going to be a two-season show. You know, remains to be seen. Is the whole thing just going to be out and fan-subbed by the time this comes around on an official broadcast? And I got to be honest, the people doing the subs on Dragon Ball stuff out there who still think they can do this barely understand English, never mind Japanese. I'm not particularly looking forward to that.
No, yeah. The current state of the hero subs are questionable.
It's
yeah.
dire.
So bad. Yeah, I really hope there's a simulcast, because I just think it will be like Super for those first 60 episodes. It will be the most pirated show. And it's just like, man, how do you blame people for that, you know? It's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
It's crazy.
We got a month to find out. AJ, that is the current state of the magical world of Dragon Ball Daima. Any thoughts, plugs, things you want to do, doing stuff with Mark, doing stuff on your own maybe? What's going on?
Yeah, I was thinking I'll probably come back to YouTube finally after like 5 years or something, and probably do some videos on Daima. Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to it. I think one of the things I always found stressful back when I was doing it, back with Super, was I was doing it on my own, and it was, you know, what I was trying to maintain a living from, and like there's so much pressure with all of that. And yeah, now that I work for Mark and, you know, have, you know, job security there, it's like, it's quite exciting to, you know, be able to come back and just post without pressure. Like, you don't have to think about the YouTube game. It's just make a fun video. Hopefully people enjoy it and take some fun info from it. And yeah, looking forward to coming back.
Nice. Yeah, it's fun to do things you want to do on your own time that, you know, you don't have to worry about the roof over your head while you're doing it.
That is very true.
All right. Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. As always, you're the best. Take care.
Anytime.
All right, so behind-the-scenes stuff, things I want to chat about, things that perhaps I am one of the only people on the planet equipped to chat about, so exclusive here on Konzenshu, the podcast, the Dragon Ball GT anime comic. So let's break that down. Dragon Ball GT, yes, the same Dragon Ball GT that aired on Fuji TV from 1996 to 1997. We had 64 episodes. We had a single TV special out of it. That same series. Dragon Ball GT never had a manga. It was a TV original production from Toei. Now, there asterisk there. There's like a bootleg manga out there, but that's not an official thing. And it's not the manga of Dragon Ball GT. It's someone else's take on it. Dragon Ball GT, though, has been a tentpole, a main pillar supporting the Dragon Ball franchise since, I don't know, kind of the mid-aughts that you don't really realize. I would say it started picking up steam again through the PS2 era of video games. Dragon Ball GT stuff was popular in particular, it seemed, with the international audience. In fact, in the Dragon Box for Dragon Ball GT in 2005, the Dragon Book that came alongside with it, Kozo Morishita, producer there at Toei. Morishita's the one who's been pushing for CG animation for decades now. That's part of the reason why Superhero ended up the way it was. But Morishita responds to a comment here in the interview from the Dragon Box Dragon Book. Dragon Ball GT has also been broadcast in America and became popular over there. Morishita says Super Saiyan 4 has gone over particularly well there, and talks about Cartoon Network actually a little bit, and just how impressive it was that GT did over here. And it's funny how they go into how they cut out the early portion of the story and how they went back around to it. So we've got that kind of laying the groundwork, and Super Saiyan 4 was always popular. You think too, even some of those openings, and we get the One Star Dragon and Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta. These are like big reveals and important inclusions in the games back then. And then as we get towards the end of that decade into the next one, Dragon Ball Heroes takes over, and GT it's there, and it's holding up that entire franchise. Think of how that series starts, and then into the Galaxy mission, then the Evil Dragon missions, and beyond. GT is huge, huge, huge. You look at the pages of Psycho Jump these days, and actually we're coming to the end of an era here. Some series are finishing up as Heroes wraps up, and we move over to Divers and kind of the immediate future here. But you look at Avatars and Meteor Mission. The GT anime comic isn't running anymore, but we'll get back to that. And even in the pages of V-Jump, I say there's a 50-50 shot when you open up one of these magazines. The first Dragon Ball thing that you're going to see half the time it's GT. Even during the serialization of Dragon Ball Super over in V-Jump, it still felt like even more so, maybe a 75% chance that the first Dragon Ball iconography you'd see in the magazine would actually be GT. So about that, the GT anime comics started in Psycho Jump at the very tail end of 2013 in December. So it was in the January 2014 issue that came out in December. It was this thing, you think back to Kazuhiko Torishima, one of his big things is kind of like this, what we in America would call kind of like the 360 multimedia approach, where you do all these things, you get all these partners involved, they're all doing things together that correlate to each other, work off each other, bank off each other, support each other. You get the comic, you get the anime, you get the video game, you get the book, you get the novelization of the movie. Like, you do all these things together to help prop up the product. Torishima was huge on that. And the GT anime comic felt like a version of that, to introduce the GT elements to this younger audience that was coming in through Heroes. And we know that was in fact a thing, that new kids were coming into the Dragon Ball franchise through playing the Dragon Ball Heroes card-based arcade game in Japan. And GT had not been on the airwaves since 1997. So other than expensive DVDs, there was really nothing for them to learn about these characters and spend time with these characters. And so you get them introduced in Heroes, and to support it, the GT anime comic comes out. And because by that point, the Evil Dragons Mission update series was what was going on in Heroes, this might sound familiar. Stop me if you've heard this. Let's skip ahead in Dragon Ball GT. So the anime comic starts with the Evil Dragons arc to support the Evil Dragons mission that is going on in Heroes. It does make sense in retrospect. So over there in Psycho Jump, we got screenshots with dialogue bubbles for Dragon Ball GT, and the Evil Dragons arc runs for 38 chapters from 2013 to 2019. And at that point, what did they do? Again, stop me if you heard this before. They loop back around to the beginning of the series, and we go from the Evil Dragons arc to the so-called Space Exploration arc, and that covers the next 13 chapters, which itself then transitions into the actual baby arc for another 22 chapters there. And that ran just about until a yearish ago in July 2023 in Psycho Jump. And at that point, it seems like they took the GT anime comic out in favor of running a colorization of the Sandland manga. And that just wrapped up this month in Psycho Jump with chapter 14. So it kind of remains to be seen what they'll do in the future. Because at this point, the only thing we don't have serialized is the Super 17 arc of Dragon Ball GT. So that had just kind of quietly been running for a decade over in Psycho Jump. The collected edition exists and consists exclusively of just the Evil Dragons arc. There are three volumes of that that have been released. All three of those came out the same day in December 2019. And we have no word on if they're going to do collected editions of the early portion into the baby arc. Now, if you look around at online documentation about this, it's bad. At best, you will see people saying, yep, the Evil Dragons arc came out, and here are the three volumes about that. Anything other than that is usually me answering questions on either my own forum or Reddit about the GT anime comic, because, again, I'm one of the only people equipped to answer these questions. So it's been bothering me for, 10 years, that there is an entry for it in our manga guide on Kanzenshu, and there's no page to support it. Well, that has come to an end. There is now a full page to support it. I went through the entire thing, all, I think, 73 chapters of the Dragon Ball GT anime comic. You've got chapter numbers. That includes overall chapter numbers and then individual chapters within the specific arc that it is a part of. So, for example, something like, I'm just going to scroll down and go to a random one. Chapter 56 overall is the fifth chapter of the baby arc. So you've got chapter numbers, you've got chapter titles in Japanese, romanized, and English translation of it. You've got page counts for all of them. Spoilers, they're almost 99.9%, 16 pages. You've got a release date for it and which issue it was published in. What was the price of that issue? And what episodes of GT does it adapt within that chapter? All that information, as far as I can tell, is exclusively right this moment only on Kanzenshu. The way that I checked that was I did a Google search in English and Japanese on google.com and google.co.jp, putting specific chapter titles that are not as generic. Like some of them are Vegeta versus Baby. That's very generic. So I went for another one. So for example, one that's a little more specific is Baby Arc Chapter 10, translation, a reliable friend comes to the rescue. It's what we went with. But I put in the Japanese text in quotes of, again, this is me saying it, Tanemoshi Skitto Arawaru. You put that in, and the single search result is my page on Konsenshu. So that tells me that no one else has compiled any of this chapter information to the degree that we have. And that feels real good. That's the kind of stuff I really, really love doing. So I want to share a couple fun little anecdotes from my research here. There is a four-way tie for, I don't know how to describe this. The best way I came up with was episodes that were covered in the longest stretch of individual chapters. So, for example, episodes 59, 60, 61, 62, so very close to the end of the series, each of them spanned themselves four chapters. So to explain that a little better, for example, episode 62 was covered across chapters 31, 32, 33, and 34. So there were four episodes that themselves were covered across four chapters. On the flip side of that, chapter 50, the space exploration arc, chapter 12, covers episodes 13 through 19. That is seven episodes worth of content in the span of just those 16 pages. Now, what they did here is space worms completely skipped over. Lewd stuff mostly skipped over entirely. Sigma stuff extremely cut down. It is wild how much stuff here in this early portion of the series when they loop back around that they cut out there. Mentioned this about page counts, but every chapter except for one is 16 pages long. The only one that's not is chapter 49, which is 11 of the space exploration arc. That one was 20 pages. Now, that chapter was published in the May 2021 issue of Psycho Jump, and that was the last issue before the magazine went on hiatus for the summer and then relaunched with a kind of refreshed format in the fall in the September 2021 issue. So I don't know if just wanted to cram in, you know, a little extra content because that was going to be the last one for a bit if they really wanted to end on a specific point for that chapter. But it's really interesting that that's a single chapter from this entire run that is not 16 pages long. Now, funny thing about that chapter is at the very end of it, it says it's the end of the space exploration arc. You get the name of the arc and then Owari, this is the end. Except it wasn't, because the next two chapters just continue onward with the arc name of the space exploration arc, and they keep counting up the chapter numbering from there. And it's not until another one, two, three chapters after this issue that the Baby arc actually gets a formal kind of like arc title change there at the top of the page and starts its chapter numbering all over again. Just a funny little thing there. Now, perhaps the most frustrating and interesting and funny thing about the GT anime comic, they made it wrong. So stick with me here. This gets a little technical, and I'm going to put it in layman's terms as best I can. So video on DVD is encoded at a resolution of 720 by 480. That is 720 pixels wide and 480 pixels tall. That's not 4x3. 4x3 would be 640 by 480. That's also not 16 by 9, which would be 852, 854 by 480. Why is this? Well, DVDs stored video in non-square pixels. That doesn't make sense, but it is how it is. Pixels on DVDs were a little rectangular. What DVD hardware or software playback would do is kind of on the fly recognize what kind of content it was and squish it, for lack of a better phrase, to 640 by 480. Or if it was anamorphic widescreen video, it would stretch it to the proper 850 blank by 480. The folks who made the GT anime comic didn't know this. And so they pulled the raw video stream from the DVDs, clearly at 720 by 480, because everything is wider than it should be. So I put up a comparison screenshot on the guide page here. I tried to pick like a group photo and something that I had a good image of from the manga as well. The thing that I would call it when you look at it is look at Goku. He's center frame, Super Saiyan 4. He's extremely wide and broad in the manga screenshot. screenshot. But when you look at the what I did as a correctly scaled DVD screenshot, he's thinner. You can really see it there. And so everyone's just a little wider than they should be in the GT anime comic, because the folks doing the layout didn't understand DVD aspect ratios. Now, one last thing I want to talk about for this guide is you're going to scroll through it and you're going to see some chapter title pages for thumbnail images and some no images there. Now, I'm crazy, and back in the day, 10 years ago and beyond, I would go to Shueisha's official Psycho Jump website and I would click on the preview images for the manga they had that issue, and I would save all of those images. And I still have everything that I saved over that last decade. Except I didn't do it all the time. I kind of fell down on the job. And then when you fall down on the job enough times, you realize like, oh, I broke a streak. Well, I'll just stop and maybe I'll do it when I think about it. And that's kind of what you see reflected on the page. The Psycho Jump website, if you click to their manga section, you could scroll through and see all the manga series that were in that issue. And you could get little preview pages. And because the first page was a title page, you would get the title page for most of these series. So I got a lot of the GT ones, but there's a lot I don't have. Now, could I just scan all these? Well, yes, I literally own all of these issues, so I could do that. In fact, that's what I did for the first chapter, because I didn't have the digital version of that, so I scanned it myself. Problem with Psycho Jump is these are really thick magazines. There are a couple in particular, 2019. These May, July, September, November issues, and then going a little bit into the next year. These are over 900 pages. These are thick magazines. And the GT anime comic is not a particularly popular one, so it gets placed in not so optimal positions within the magazine. That makes it really hard to scan without breaking the binding on these magazines, which I don't particularly want to do. So what I did, a couple things. I grabbed everything that I had saved over that last decade, and I had a good bunch of them. I then went to archive.org, and I knew this was not going to work for a couple specific reasons. And I tried to pull up as much as I possibly could from Psycho Jump and its various URLs over time. The problem with Psycho Jump's website, and I detail this probably a little better in writing in the Patreon post that I put up alongside the launch of this guide, they would reuse the same URLs for images issue to issue, month to month, or bi-monthly when they updated the website. They would upload new images on top of prior images at the same URL. So for example, 09_1.gif. They would upload something as that file name to the same folder month over month over month. So one month, that's going to be a Dragon Ball GT anime comic title page. The next month, that might be something from one of the Naruto spinoffs, one of the One Piece spinoffs, one of the random one-shots that's in that issue, because they move things around. And so the numbering reflected the order of the comics in the issue, and things would be different issue to issue. So archive.org that month would notice that the web page was changed and might have an accurate snapshot of the overall web page from that month. But because the URL structure for the images was the same, it wouldn't necessarily grab a snapshot of those images. So sometimes you go back to the archive.org versions of these web pages and you click the image or preview of the GT anime comic and you get something entirely different from months removed from when that web page was. I did my due diligence and I went through every URL permutation. Sometimes they use GIFs, sometimes they use JPEGs. Sometimes I use slightly different numberings. There was a URL change for the Psycho Jump website. I looked through 1 to 4 numberings on all of these, 01 through like 25.gif on all of these. I think I rescued 1, maybe 2 title pages that I didn't already have. So was it worth it for those? Yeah, it was worth it for those, but I'm missing a ton. So my call here is, if you're listening to this and you're like, Mike, I'm as crazy as you, I saved some of, maybe more, all of those preview images. I got you. Holy crap, let me know. I want those images. I want to get them on that page. Again, could I just scan them? Yes. But I think there's a really cool consistency to having the actual digital files, larger quality, better than a scan. I think that would be really cool. I don't know if anyone else out there is as crazy as I am, because I haven't seen any of this documented anywhere else to this degree over this last decade. But it's worth a shot, right? Get this information out there, see who does what, who's got what. I would love to see what you have. That is a little bit of insight into the insanity of my brain and my work process. If you'd like to see and learn more about that, check out the Patreon post that went live alongside the debut of this guide. Got some cool photos in there, and maybe you'll learn something else along the way. That is going to bring us to a close. www.kanzenshuu.com. That is kanzenshuu.com. Appreciate you hanging out for this here podcast episode. We got some cool stuff coming your way in the future, both on the main site and in the podcast feed. Obviously, we'll be chatting about Daima. I got some other folks I want to be chatting with soon. We got some things we still need to review. So, hey, Mike, get to work. Get off the podcast and get back to work. So all the usual plugs, kanzenshuu.com, social medias at kanzenshuu. We'll see you most Saturday nights on my personal Twitch, twitch.tv/VegitoEX. We stream Mario Kart, and the Mario Kart is incidental to the rest of the chat with friends and family of kanzenshuu. Thank you for checking out the Akira Toriyama career retrospective panel that I presented live at Otakon this year. If you heard it in the podcast feed, awesome. If you didn't quite catch that, there's a video version of that. Yes, we recorded the full video. That's on the YouTube channel as well. Good Lord, there's probably more stuff I needed to mention, wanted to mention, but I'll leave it there. Thank you much, folks. I appreciate you. We'll see you next time. Later. That's the name of that their website. We cover anything, everything. We cover words, huh?